Balthazar led us into a grand chamber with silks, festooned from the ceiling and the floor, covered with fine carpets and pillows. Wine, fruit, cheese, and bread were laid out on several low tables. "Rest and refresh," said Balthazar. "I'll be back after I finish my business with Ahmad." Then he hurried off, leaving us alone. "So," I said, "find out what you need to from this guy. Then we can get on the road, and on to the next wise man." "I'm not sure it's going to be that quick. In fact, we may be here quite some time, maybe years." "Years? Joshua, we're in the middle of nowhere. We can't spend years here."
"Biff, we grew up in the middle of nowhere. What's the difference?"
"Girls," I said.
"What about them?" Joshua asked.
"Don't start."
We heard laughter rolling down the corridor into the room, and shortly it was followed by Balthazar and Ahmad, who threw themselves down among the pillows and began eating the cheeses and fruits that had been set out.
"So," Balthazar said, "Ahmad tells me that you tried to save a bandit, and in the process blinded one of his men without so much as touching him. Very impressive."
Joshua hung his head. "It was a massacre."
"Grieve," Balthazar said. "But consider also the words of the master Lao Tzu. Weapons are instruments of misfortune. Those who are violent do not die naturally."
"Ahmad," Joshua said, "what will happen to the guard? The one I..."
"He is no good to me anymore," said Ahmad. "A shame, too. He was the best bowman of the lot. I'll leave him in Kabul. He asked me to give his pay to his wife in Antioch and his other wife in Dunhuang. I suppose he would become a beggar."
"Who is Lao Tzu?" I asked.
"You will have plenty of time to learn of Master Lao Tzu," said Balthazar. "Tomorrow I will assign you a tutor to teach you Qi, the path of the dragon's breath. But for now, eat and rest."
"Can you believe a Chinaman can be so black?" laughed Ahmad. "Have you ever seen such a thing?"
"I wore the leopard skin of the shaman when your father was just a twinkle in the great river of stars, Ahmad. I mastered animal magic before you were old enough to walk, and I had learned all the secrets of the sacred Egyptian magic texts before you could sprout a beard. If immortality is to be found among the wisdom of the Chinese masters, then I shall be Chinese as long as it suits me, no matter the color of my skin or the place of my birth."
I tried to determine Balthazar's age. From what he was claiming, he would have to be very old indeed. As Ahmad was not young himself, yet his movements were spry, and as far as I could see, he had all of his teeth, and they were perfect. There was none of the feeble dotage that I'd seen in our elders at home.
"How do you stay so strong, Balthazar?" I asked.
"Magic," he grinned.
"There is no magic but that of the Lord," Joshua said. Balthazar scratched his chin and replied quietly,
"Then presumably none without his consent, eh, Joshua?"
Joshua slouched and stared at the floor.
Ahmad burst out laughing.
"His magic isn't so mysterious, boys. Balthazar has 8 young concubines to draw the poisons from his old body. That's how he stays young."
"Holy moly, 8?
I was astounded, aroused, envious.
"Does that room with the ironclad door have something to do with your magic?"
Joshua asked gravely.
Balthazar stopped grinning. Ahmad looked from Joshua to the magus and back, bewildered.
"Let me show you to your quarters," said Balthazar. "You should wash and rest. Lessons tomorrow. Say goodbye to Ahmad. You'll not see him again soon."
Our quarters were spacious, bigger than the houses we'd grown up in, with carpets on the floor, chairs made of dark exotic hardwoods carved into the shapes of dragons and lions, and a table that held a pitcher and basin for washing. Each of our rooms held a desk and cabinet full of instruments for painting and writing, and something neither of us had ever seen, a bed. A half wall divided the space between Joshua's room and mine, so we were able to lie in the beds and talk before falling asleep, just as we had in the desert. I could tell that Joshua was deeply troubled about something that first night.
"You seem, I don't know, deeply troubled, Josh."
"It's the bandits.
Could I have raised them?"
"All of them? I don't know. Could you?"
"I thought about it. I thought that I could make them all walk and breathe again.
I thought I could make them live, but I didn't even try.
Why?
Because I was afraid they would have killed us and robbed us if I had. It's what Balthazar said. Those who are violent do not die naturally. The Torah says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. They were bandits.
But were they bandits always? Would they have been bandits in the years to come?
Sure, once a bandit, always a bandit. They take an oath or something. Besides, you didn't kill them.
But I didn't save them. And I blinded that bowman. That wasn't right. You were angry.
That's no excuse.
What do you mean that's no excuse? You're God's son. God wiped out everyone on earth with a flood because he was angry.
I'm not sure that's right.
Excuse me?
We have to go to Kabul. I need to restore that man's sight if I can.
Joshua, this bed is the most comfortable place I've ever been. Can we wait to go to Kabul?
I suppose.
Joshua was quiet for a long time, and I thought that he might have fallen asleep. I didn't want to sleep, but I didn't want to talk about dead bandits either.
Hey, Josh.
What?
What do you think is in that room with the iron door? What did he call it?
Zhang Zhai, said Josh.
Yeah, Zhang Zhai. What do you think that is?
I don't know, Biff. Maybe you should ask your tutor.
Zhang Zhai means house of doom in the parlance of Feng Shui, said Tiny Feet of the Divine Dance of Joyous Orgasm. She knelt before a low stone table that held an earthenware teapot and cups. She wore a red silk robe trimmed with golden dragons and tied with a black sash. Her hair was black and straight and so long that she had tied it in a knot to keep it from dragging on the floor as she served the tea. Her face was heart-shaped, her skin as smooth as polished alabaster, and if she'd ever been in the sun, the evidence had long since faded. She wore wooden sandals, held fast by silk ribbons, and her feet, as you might guess from her name, were tiny. It had taken me 3 days of lessons to get the courage up to ask her about the room. She poured the tea daintily, but without ceremony, as she had each of the previous 3 days before my lessons. But this time, before she handed it to me, she added to my cup a drop of potion from a tiny porcelain bottle that hung from a chain around her neck.
"What's in the bottle, Joy?"
I call her Joy. Her full name was too ungainly for conversation, and when I'd tried other diminutives, Tiny Feet, Divine Dance, and Orgasm, she hadn't responded positively.
"Poison,"
Joy said with a smile. The lips of her smile were shy and girlish, but the eyes smiled a thousand years sly.
"Ah," I said, and I tasted the tea. It was rich and fragrant, just as it had been before, but this time there was a hint of bitterness.
"Biff, can you guess what your lesson is today?"
Joy asked.
"I thought you would tell me what's in that House of Doom room."
"No, that is not the lesson today. Balthazar does not wish you to know what is in that room. Guess again."
My fingers and toes had begun to tingle, and I suddenly realized that my scalp had gone numb.
"You're going to teach me how to make the fire powder that Balthazar used the day we arrived?"
"No, silly."
Joy's laugh had the musical sound of a clear stream running over rocks. She pushed me lightly on the chest, and I fell over backward, unable to move.
"Today's lesson is, are you ready?"
I grunted. It was all I could do. My mouth was paralyzed.
"Today's lesson is, if someone puts poison in your tea, don't drink it."
"Uh-huh," I sort of slurred.